Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the BPER First Quarter 2024 Consolidated Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Nicola Sponghi, Investor Relations Operations of BPER. Mr. Sponghi, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our First Quarter 2024 Results Conference Call. Before I give the floor to the CEO, Gianni Franco Papa, and the CFO, Gianluca Santi, for the financial result presentation, please know that our slide set and press release can be found on our corporate website. Please remember that the Q&A session is reserved for financial analysts, whom I would kindly request to only ask two questions, so we can get around to everyone in good time. Thank you very much, Mr. Papa. Please, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good evening, welcome, and thank you for being with us today. I'm pleased to open this call as the group new CEO. Let me first express my gratitude to the board for the trust they placed by appointing me to lead this extraordinary company for the next 3 years. Let me thank the former CEO and all my colleagues for the outstanding work and for leaving a company stronger and more performing than ever. Despite my 40 years of professional experience, I see this as a very special challenge, which I'm embracing with particular excitement. After just few days since my appointment, I'm quite impressed by the quality of this institution, its people, and its clients. Our presence across the country, combined with the professionality of our people, is undoubtedly our main asset that enables us to build quality customer relationship and create value over time for all our stakeholders. This is why I wanted to spend my first day as CEO with our commercial network that will be central for achieving the future ambitions of the bank. We are today presenting the results of the first quarter of 2024. Before I leave the floor to Gianluca Santi, Group CFO, who will walk you through the details, I would like to express my satisfaction for the positive results achieved by the bank in the continuity with the last quarter's performance and above the aspirations set by the 2022-2025 plan. If you turn to slide 4, in this first quarter, we deliver over 300 million in recurring net profit with an ROTE of 14.4%. Positive progress has been made across all the most relevant KPIs. We have grown our revenues by 2% year-on-year, improved efficiency with cost income of 51.7%, and continue positive risk management with a net NPE ratio of 1.2% and a total NPE coverage of over 54%, with an annualized cost of credit standing now at 43 basis points, down from 48 basis points registered at the end of 2023. The bank's capital and liquidity profiles remain strong, thanks to the organic generation of capital, which drives the CET1 ratio to 14.9%. The same applies to the bank's liquidity position, with regulatory ratios being broadly in excess of the minimum thresholds required, even after the 1.7 billion repayment of the last TLTRO tranche. Despite a very uncertain and volatile geopolitical and macro scenario, our balance sheet is solid and resilient and allows us to look into the future with positivity and confidence and to sustain the future growth. Results of the last years are certainly impressive, and despite the interest rate scenario will most likely become challenging, I'm profoundly convinced that even greater potential is ahead of us, in particular in terms of growth from commission fees and of a structural productivity increase and modernization of the operating machine. We will continue to work on ensuring that the group is on a virtuous path. I thank you for your attention, and will now give the floor to Gianluca Santi for the rest of the presentation. I will, of course, take your questions in the final Q&A session. Please, Gianluca.
Thank you, Gianni. Good evening, everybody. Let me now walk you through the details of the presentation. On slide 6, we can see that total funding amounts to around 298 billion, up 2.7% year-to-date, driven in particular by the positive trend in indirect funding. Direct deposits from customers rose to 118.1 billion, down 0.6% since the end of 2023. Retail direct funding continues to prove resilient and accounts for around 70% of total funding, while corporate funding accounts for almost 30% of the total. Among the main drivers, which partially offset the decline in current accounts quarter on quarter, minus 2.1 billion, was the good performance of time deposits, certificates and bonds, plus 1.1 billion. With regard to indirect funding, the aggregate amounts to 180 billion, plus 4.9% since end 2023. The aggregate includes asset under management and life insurance, rising to 88.6 billion, up 2.7% on end 2023, whereas asset under custody amount to 91.4 billion, up 7.3%, including on the back of BTP government bonds, underwritten between February and March for an amount of 0.9 billion. In particular, the latest quarter showed a remarkable performance in funds thanks to easy target date products designed to intercept on-demand funding potentially migrating to BTPs. Strong asset under management net inflows, 351 million euro in the first quarter 24 versus 263 million in first quarter 23. With regard to loans, slide 7 highlights that our stock of loans to customers amount to 87.7 billion, down 0.6% since end 2023. The reduction is primarily traceable to the decline in loans originated by product factories, in particular factoring. As against the positive performance of loans to retail customers, plus 0.1 billion, a downtrend was observed in the corporate segment, especially in the manufacturing, minus 0.2 billion, and the wholesale and retail trade services, minus 0.2 billion. From a sectoral perspective, the loan mix sees the main economic sectors represented with a balanced distribution across the manufacturing and trade sector, accounting respectively for about 15% and 8% of the total. The breakdown of customers by segment sees the retail segment account for 60% of customers' volumes, while corporate customers account for 40% of the total. An improvement is observed in the loan-to-deposit ratio, which has decreased both Q-on-Q and year-on-year, settling at 74.3%. Moving on to asset quality, slide 8, as you know, the quality of the loan book continues to be one of our focal points. In the first quarter of 2024, credit management continued to follow a disciplined approach, which will allow the bank to be in the best condition possible should the economic cycle deteriorate in the future. This slide shows our excellent credit quality with an NPE ratio of 2.6% gross and 1.2% net, versus 2.4% and 1.2% at the end of 23, which enables us to continue being among the best in class in both the Italian and European banking system. Total non-performing loan coverage rose to 54.2% versus 52.5% at the end of 23. Performing loan coverage settled at 0.73%, broadly in line with the level of end 23, and stage 2 loan coverage is 5% in line with the end of 23. First quarter, non-performing loan coverage rose 1.7 percentage point in spite of the increase in gross book value observed in all categories of NPLs. Performing loans are stable both in terms of book value and coverage level. Turning now to the securities portfolio on slide 9, we point out that financial assets totaled 26.5 billion on a downturn compared to December 2023. Within the aggregate, debt securities amount to 24.5 billion, 92.4% of the total portfolio, with duration of 2 years net of hedging, and include 12.9 billion worth of bonds issued by government and other supranational public entities, including 8.7 billion of Italian government bonds, down 15.3% since end 2023. Italian bonds account for around 44.7% of total bonds held in the portfolio and 7.8% of total assets. The quarterly analyzed average yield on the portfolio was 2.7%. The securities portfolio duration was extended to 2 years, as was the government bond portfolio duration, which was extended to 2.4 years. Moving on to commenting slide 11, I would point out that the only non-recurring item in the quarter consists in gains on the disposal of the shareholding in the UTP and bad loan servicing platform to Gardant. In particular, the transaction recently completed between BPER Group and the Gardant Group generated a total capital gain of 150 million before tax. In the next pages, we will expand on the details of the profit and loss. Turning now to the net interest income, slide 12, it totaled 843.6 million, a 6.2% increase on the first quarter of 2023, mainly on the back of the commercial spread stemming from the interest rate environment, well-managed deposit pass-through, and positive contribution from the investment portfolio. Compared to the previous quarter, a decrease was observed in the net interest income in Q1, primarily as a consequence of the major reduction in the securities portfolio, minus 36 million, due to the decline in volumes, minus 1.8 billion, and interest rate, minus 0.31 percentage point. We will now move on to slide 13 on the net commission income, which amounts to 510.4 million, up 0.8% on the same period last year. In particular, commissions on traditional banking amounted to 284.6 million, minus 2.9% year-on-year. Fees and commissions on indirect deposit settled at 173.3 million, plus 10.3% year-on-year, and bank insurance commissions total 52.4 million, minus 6.1% year-on-year. Again, as compared to March 2023, I will point out the growth in asset under management, which benefits from upfront fees, plus 6.3 million, whereas placement of the BTP Valore Italian government bond contributed 4.7 million. Please note that the Q4 2023 result was affected in the bank insurance segment by the annual commissions bonus for reaching the targets, around 22.7 million. Operating cost, slide 14, amounted to 701 million, as against 675.8 million for the same period last year. In particular, staff cost totaled 437.7 million, as compared to 429.2 million for the first quarter of 2023. The increase is mainly traceable to higher charges from the renewal of the national collective labor agreement signed at the end of last year. Other administrative expenses amount to 200.2 million, as against 189.5 million in the first quarter 2023, particularly as a result of the current inflation trend. D&A amount to 63 million versus 57.2 million in the first quarter 2023. The D&A increase is the result of the investments made under the business plan in the recent year, with special reference to the new technological platforms and the progress in the bank's digitalization. Branches in the first quarter totaled 1,635, stable since the end of the previous quarter, and were down by 124 units year-on-year. The group's total headcount was 90,850 in March 2024, down by over 707 as compared to the same period last year, and down by about 374 employees on December 2023, including as a result of the workforce optimization maneuver. Cost-income ratio for the quarter was 51.7%, substantially below the recurring cost-income ratio recorded in the fourth quarter 2023, 53.4%. Slide 15 highlights again that credit quality continues to be among the best in class, with the NPE ratio settling at 2.6% gross and 1.2% net, and the coverage ratio for total non-performing loans at over 54%. It's noted that the annualized cost of credit stands at 43 basis points. The trend shows a decline from the cost of credit registered both at the end of 2023 and the end of 2022, 64 basis points in 2022. The loan book features a low rate of NPE inflows and high coverage level. Moving on to liquidity, let me point out that the bank's liquidity ratio remains high, with an LCR of 162% as at March 2024, even after 1.7 billion repayment of the last TLTRO tranche at the end of March, whereas the NSFR amounts to 133%. I think very strong indicator of the liquidity of the bank. Slide 18, in terms of capital, the significant organic generation further reinforces our capital strength, with a CET1 ratio of 14.9%. I would now give the floor back to our CEO, Mr. Papa, the final section of the presentation.
Thank you, Gianluca. So, in as much as financial year 2024 guidance, we confirm the guidance disclosed in early February. The guidance for financial year 2024 is confirmed with a slight decrease in net interest income as a result of a potential narrower banking spread due to a less restrictive monetary policy, positive dynamics in net commission income on the back of growing revenues from asset management and advisory services, operating costs in line with 2023, with additional inclusion of the full effect from the renewal of the national labor agreement for the financial sector. On the asset quality front, the expectation is that sound coverage level and a conservative provisioning approach will be maintained, with a stable cost of credit with respect to 2023. 2024 recurring net profit is expected to be in line with 2023 recurring net profit. Thank you for listening to the highlights of our presentation. I would like now open the Q&A session. Please.
Thank you. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the new CEO. I have two sets of questions. The first one is very simple. I was wondering if you can share with us what would be the timeline, if any, for the update of the business plan. The second question is instead on the capital position. I've seen that your capital is evolving very well, 14.9, including the accrual of the profit, but you are still guiding at 14.5% at year-end. So I'm wondering why you do expect such a contraction from here up until December. If you can update us with the regulatory headwinds, if any, that you expect for 2024 and the impact on Basel IV. And related to this, I'm also wondering whether you can share with us if there is an impact from the rolling of the state guaranteed loans on your CET1 ratio. And finally, I've seen that you've mentioned the reduction in the contribution of Superbonus on NII this quarter. I was wondering, this does not apply specifically to BPER, but I should have raised this question to all the banks in Italy. Is there any risk that banks which have on balance tax credit out of the Superbonus may record some write-off if the government decided to extend the duration of this asset life? My personal perception is that this should not be the case if you already own this asset, but I would like to share to see your view on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Razzoli. I'll take the first question and Gianluca the other two. So in as much as the timeline for a new business plan, well, now we're standing the current plan ends in 2025. We are perfectly aware that the bank is well ahead of its plan, and therefore we are evaluating the option to possibly update it or revise it. So we will let you know as soon as we have decided what to do. Gianluca?
Too much question, Giovanni, about capital position, evolution of Basel II, Basel IV, sorry, for 2025, our expectation is between 40 and 50 basis points. No other effect in 24 from regulatory situation. About Superbonus, clearly we have to wait for the real disclosure about the new rules, but if something changes, the duration from 4 to 10, you have to split in 10 years and not in 4 the effect of the this is the delta between the okay, the real value and the acquisition value of the loans, but the difference in our opinion is only the split during this year. If become from 4 to 10, clearly you can have 40% of the impact and not the total impact in the that we estimate for 24. About loans, guaranteed loans, we are of around 11 billion in this moment. No particular situation about these loans. We have the 85% of coverage linked to the government guarantee, and for prudence, we put also another 1%, but we didn't have, until now, any situation of non-performing coming from this kind of loans. I don't know if I answered to all your...
Yes, sorry, Gianluca, if you can clarify the guidance of the CET1 at year-end, 14.5%, and why you do see a contraction from the current levels of 14.9%. And if I may, specifically on the Superbonus, thanks for your clarification. We are the first bank we are asking this question. Can you share with us, review the condition to share with us, what would be the impact on your balance sheet in case there is this extension? Thank you.
Guidance about CET1, I said that we do not expect for the rest of the year some regulatory impact. Does it mean that we will have only the effect linked to the organic generation of profit? As the CEO said, about the next strategy about capital, clearly we are working on the option for the update or revision or something different about the industrial plan. Superbonus, clearly If you consider, I don't know, if we consider the 2023, and we had 180 million euro of impact, you can have the total impact of 180, but you have the 40% of this impact. I think that this is the roughly calculation about the impact on net interest margin.
The next question is from Andrea Lisi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on NII. In particular, if you can update us on the strategy to protect NII in the face of declining rates, and in particular on the replicating portfolio and on the strategy regarding the financial portfolio, which decreased by 2 billion quarter-on-quarter. So what should we expect here? And the second question is on cost. BPER continues to be the bank with one of the highest cost income among listed Italian banks. So just wondering to understand if there is room for further efficiencies on the cost side. So just to have an update on this. Thank you.
About NII strategy, if you analyze the figures, we have a beta on deposit that is the same in the first quarter 2024 than the beta that we had in the fourth quarter 2023. Clearly, our action during the first quarter was to increase the position hedged. We had, if you remember, 12 billion euro at the end of the year. We now have 14 billion euro. We think that we had estimate of decrease of interest rate in the second part of the year, and we will continue to improve our capacity to manage this decrease. Only to give you an idea, the sensitivity on our net interest margin observed, okay, we have stated that is around 30-40 million euro in the first quarter. The observed is around 150 million euro, but our internal model, the model that we use in our financial department, they show an effect for a decrease of 100 basis points of around 50 million euro for the first quarter 2024. It represents, in my opinion, a strong approach of hedging and a real example that we can manage the decrease of interest rate in the second part of the year.
Yeah, for cost, I take the question. Yes, we do have costs that are quite high in the system compared to other competitors. On the other hand, you have realized that we have reduced quite substantially the cost income ratio, improved the cost income ratio quite substantially. As I mentioned in the beginning, I do see the possibility of increasing the structural productivity and modernizing even more the operating machine. We will have a reduction in cost because, as you know, we had a redundancy scheme that was assigned last year in December of last year for the exit of 1,000 colleagues. We have quite a large number of colleagues that will be leaving the bank by year-end. A small portion will be leaving the bank by the first quarter of 2025. And we do expect on this front to have an overall positive effect in the region of around 50 million by the end of 2025. So this, together with the reassessment of the other administrative costs that we started, will further bring down, we do believe, will further bring down the and improve the cost-income ratio.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Congrats to Mr. Papa for the new role. So first question for you, so what are the areas in your view where the bank should focus on going forward? I appreciate you're working on the plan, so I'm not asking you any details, but, you know, high level, you mentioned during the introductory speech, commission income, also efficiency. Maybe there is something else also on shareholder distributions. In general, what are, you know, what do you think the bank should work on over the next years? A second question, how do you see the balance between lower NII and higher commission income during 2024 and 2025? So I'm asking you about, let's say, where do you see the revenues going, considering maybe the headwinds for NII and tailwinds for commission income? And just another follow-up on the super bonus. So you said 180 million in 2023. So if they apply, let's say, this change as we read on the papers, so shall we assume that in 24 you get essentially a negative of 60% of 180 million and that's the only impact you expect if essentially everything ends up like being like we read in the papers? Thank you.
I'll take the first two questions. So I didn't say that I'm working on a new business plan. I just mentioned that considering the fact that the bank is ahead of the plan the current plan, we are evaluating the option to possibly update it or revise it. In terms of going forward, we do believe, and we are working, we've been looking at this and envisaging three cuts in interest rates during the year of 25 basis points each, so for a total of 75 basis points this year. So this obviously will have an impact on, although a limited impact on the net interest income. We are pushing on the other end for fees. We do believe that we will have, especially from the asset under management that we have, which is sold and was mentioned also by Gianluca, that we have a strong increase in there. And we want also to increase the ancillary business that is given us by our corporate customers and retail customers. So we do believe that we'll be able to increase the fees in this year. Just to mention, as you know, we have launched the new specialized banking unit in private banking and wealth management, Banca Cesare Ponti. We strongly believe in specialization of the of this activity, and we are receiving right now very good feedback from our customers and from the market itself. This, together with the strengthening of our private banking and wealth management division, will allow us not only to increase the fees coming from this business, but also to better represent the real value of the different business units and those of our bank. In as much as 2025 is too early to say, we are again envisaging three rate cuts. Again, we believe around 25 basis points each, but it's really too early to say what could be the impact for 25. So I will stay with 24. And I leave to Gianluca for the super bonus.
Sorry, but about super bonus, we read something on the newspaper. It's not clear for us the perimeter, is not clear the impact. Please, we have to wait some days to understand better what could be the impact for us. But now it's not possible to say something that is close to reality.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a few mainly on NII. Could you please give us a bit of color on your strategy on your bond portfolio for 2024? How come it did go down so much in Q1, and will this trend continue? And on NII and on the quarterly move, I think you mentioned it before, but I missed it. So if you could repeat the moving parts in terms of quarterly move on NII, it would be very much appreciated. And then the last question on NII is again on tax credits. So if you could give us a sense of the contribution to NII in Q1, and the amount as of March 2024. And on the average maturity, from your comments, I gather that the average maturity could be around 4 years, but let me know if my assumption is wrong. And last question on NPEs. I see they're up Q-on-Q, and if you give us a bit of color on what drove this increase, will be great. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Noemi, but your question was not very clear because we can't hear very well. But I try to start to answer. The color of replicating, I don't know what color can I do. The color is that we reduced the impact of the sensitivity, okay, if the interest rate go down 100 basis points to 50 million euros. How? We make this with the hedging of the more or less 10% of our asset. Not clearly, not only asset, also liabilities, but to give you an idea. We have 14 billion euro of hedging position, and clearly in this moment, this position can give us to reduce the impact of a decrease of interest rate of around 50 million euros. I think that
Sorry, my question wasn't clear.
This is the situation. I don't know what can be your question.
No, sir. My question was on the bond portfolio that went down sizably Q-on-Q. And I was wondering.
Sorry, Noemi, if I interrupt. I can hear you very well. So if you can. Or if you can write to me directly, I prefer. Yeah.
Okay.
The next question is from Domenico Santoro of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for making the call in English. I do have a few questions. First of all, on the NII guidance, assuming that Q2 is not going to be different from Q1, your NII guidance for this year implies that the second part of the year, the contribution from NII will decrease by 120 million or more if the NII will slip, you know, in 2024 compared to 2023. So I just wonder if you could walk us through your math. And what is the negative component that is going to bring NII down in the second part of the year, given that your NII now is practically insensitive to the level of rates? Other banks have been a little bit more bullish, optimistic in giving their guidance. So I just wonder here if there is a, you know, the usual degree of conservatism. The other question is on fees. If you can give us the amount of certificates that you have distributed in the first quarter, and how much is the pot of unrealized performance fees at Arca year to date. The third question is on the dividend. If you can tell how much you have accrued in the capital this quarter in euro sense, the one on cost, instead, you gave already some details on costs, on the savings for next year. And in the update of the plan you're mentioning, can you give us a direction for costs in 2025, a qualitative comment or a quantitative comment in absolute number would be also nice to have. And then just a detail, the negative item in the other operating income, I was just wonder whether you can explain. Thank you.
Yeah, about the guidance, Domenico, I think is correct your valuation. Our expectation is to have a decrease in the second half, clearly linked to the decrease of interest rate and the impact of the sensitivity. This is the fact that we are waiting for. Fees, I think that clearly now it's not easy for us to quantify the revenues come from Arca linked to the performance because we have only at the end of the year, and for prudence, we during the year we do not make a calculation because we have to wait the end of the year. Gianni, about the dividend.
Yes. We have accrued 16 cents as a dividend for the first quarter. So today we are positioned on a 50 or 70% payout depending on the stated or recurrent profit. But we will analyze the situation going forward and decide at a later stage with the ambition to properly remunerate our shareholders. I can't be more specific than that.
Sorry, Domenico, I forgot a question about certificates. During the first quarter, we issued for around 240 million euro, and we had around 6 million euro of fees from the certificates. About 25, CEO said, in this moment we are analyzing the option for the possible review, and in this moment we prefer to wait the end of the analysis.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just two questions. One on the super bonus. Is there can you tell us how much of your exposure has been issued in 2023 versus, or has been acquired in 2023 versus previous years? Because I had the impression, perhaps wrong, that if it's exposure from 2023, perhaps it will not have an impact, these new measures that the government is planning. And then another question on, you know, gross NPEs went up 6% Q1Q. Can you tell us what's driving that? Thank you.
About the stock of Superbonus, we are close to 6 billion euro. 24. About the second question.
Hi, Hugo. Sorry, can you repeat the second one, please?
Gross NPEs increased 6% Q1Q. What is driving that?
No particular issues, because in the first quarter, as you know, we set up the selling of the going concern about the credit platform to Gardant, and usually during the quarter we sold some credit portfolio to manage clearly the NPE ratio. If you remember, in the fourth quarter 23 we sold of around 150 million euro, During the first quarter, we were working on the platform, and we didn't sell nothing. This is the reason why you can see this increase. Is a no ordinary increase, no big position, and I think nothing of that can be dangerous for us.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Adele Palama of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon. One question on the govies. Can you explain us the that you are following for the book? Because I mean, I've seen that they have decreased. Might that had an impact? I mean, one of the reason why, I mean, you're guiding for a lower NII or like equal or lower NII in 2024 versus 2023. Can you give us the amount of TLTRO impact into the first quarter NII and what you expect for the following quarter from the TLTRO or the difference versus last year? Thanks.
Okay. About govies. Well, you cannot see the decrease in govies, but you probably see the decrease in corporate bonds. The reason is the decrease is very strong because it's 1.5 billion euro. The decrease is linked to sell bonds that are not useful for LCR or are not useful for MREL, and clearly we optimize the portfolio. A decreasing of portfolio because a part of this portfolio is based on the leverage. Clearly, if we pay more a financial funding than the yield of the bonds, we prefer to reduce the stock. TLTRO impact is 6 billion, was 6 billion also. Million in the profit and loss. Yes. No, no, not billion. 6 million, the same impact of the fourth quarter, and if you analyze the delta is zero.
Okay. Sorry, can do a follow-up question on the hedging structure, and apologies, I know this question has been asked already, but just to understand, I mean, what's the size of the portfolio? You said 14 billion. What's the maturity, the exit rate, and what's the sort of, if you can sort of say the tailwind that will offset from only from the hedging structure that will offset the decline in rates? Thanks.
Well, in this moment, the duration of the hedging is of around 2 years. Clearly, we will see the rate for breakeven point is between 2% and 3%. Our position is 14%. Probably, we can manage with this hypothesis about interest rate a maximum position of 20 billion. Clearly it depend to the evolution of the curve.
Okay. This question was already asked, but I didn't hear the answer. In the other income and expenses into the revenues, what do you classify there?
Sorry, Adele, can you repeat please? Because I didn't hear very well.
Yeah. Into the revenues for the quarter, you reported around 12.9 negative of other income and expenses. So what's that number? Like, what do you classify there?
Well, in particular, is a deal that is compensated in other operating expenses income and in the net provision for risk and charges, because is a penalty that we had in a old securitization, but already write-offed in the past, and you have the negative effect in the other operating expenses and the positive effect in net provision for risk and charges.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening again. I hope you can hear me okay. I have just a few follow-up questions. The first one is on your bond portfolio that decreased sizably during the quarter. I was wondering if the optimization here is over, or do you expect other adjustments in 2024? And then could you please go through the moving parts of your quarterly move in NII? I think you briefly mentioned it during the presentation, but I missed it. Sorry, if you could repeat it, that would be great. And then a very quick one on the contribution from tax credits on NII in March, in Q1 2024. Thank you very much.
Okay. For the bond, I think that the strong optimization is done. Probably something else will be done the next quarter, but not so strong. For the tax credit was 69 million euro in the first quarter. Q on Q, about the details of the other quarters. Well, I think that we give only commercial and financial, because we think that you can see clearly the movement, but I don't know what kind of analysis, Noemi, do you need.
I'm just wondering how much of the drop in NII was linked to the bond optimization, or the increase in the replicating portfolio, perhaps, or your margin, just this kind of color. Thank you.
I can give you something, and after that we will provide you and to the other colleague about other details, but I think I can give you an idea about the effect, spread effect and volume effect on the net interest margin. This is the figures that I have in this moment, and if you analyze the 117.6 million euro of delta, you can see that you have a positive spread effect of 197 million euro, and you have a negative effect from volumes, so that is 79 million euro. In this moment, we don't have the details that you have requested, but we will provide you in the next days.
Thank you very much.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time. Excuse me, there's just one last minute question, a follow-up from Adele Palama of UBS. Please go ahead.
Jeffrey, what's the amount of upfront fees in the quarterly fees that you reported, please? Thanks.
We have a very low amount of upfront fees, and there are 20 million euro in the quarter. So let me check here.
What was the level in the fourth quarter of upfront fees?
The same.
Same. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Let me stress that here we have a policy not to upfront fees, because we prefer to have recurring fees during the life of the products that we are selling. This is a policy that we have at bank level, and we will keep this policy. We don't want to have upfront that creates problem after a few years or a few months.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time. Gentlemen, back to you for any closing remarks you may have.
Okay. Thank you very much for participating, and hope to see you soon. Thank you. Goodbye.